Butterworth, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is something to be confident about. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Tonight I am going to be looking at the subject of burdens. Remember last week I told you about Felix of Nola, an early Christian martyr who hid in a cave, trusting God to protect him. And he had no more gotten into the cave, and a spider began to weave a web over the opening of the cave. Now, it was not a large opening, but the spider was able to weave a web over the entire opening. And those who were pursuing him came upon the cave, saw it, stopped, but came to the conclusion that he couldn't be in that cave because no man could have gotten in there without disturbing the spider web. That man who was leading that group pursuing him did not know the God of Felix. This old nature of ours is like ropes that bind us. This old nature of ours are like the tentacles of an octopus that encircles its prey. It makes life a maze, like a maze without an end door. Burdens. As a general rule, Christians in this world are subject to many heavy trials, the same as everybody is. Christians are not exempt from the trials and tribulations, burdens that people experience. Psalm 55, verse 22. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer, permit the righteous to be moved. Burden here is used and carries the sense of what God has allowed, what God has given. And so it is that sometimes we wonder why. A Christian dreamer who was dreaming and saw in his dream Christian men and women weighed down with many burdens. And from time to time, the Lord himself permitted their oppression to increase. Still, weary ones, they kept on going, almost about to drop. Still more afflictions seemed to be piled on them. And so the dreamer, perplexed about this, humbly approached the Lord and asked, why? Oh, that ages-old question. Why? Why must this be? Why did that happen? Why can't? Why? The Savior replied to the dreamer, I'm letting their distress build up till they can no longer bear it without me. Yeah, without me. Oh, then, as they turn to me, I'll bear both of them, the Christian and his burden. But too often, it's not him that we want, but rather immediate relief from whatever the burden or problem is. Oh, God, forgive us. Because we'll never know what it means to walk with the Savior when all we want is for him to give us relief. I'm sure you're familiar with this. One night I had a dream. I dreamed I was walking along the beach. It was with the Lord. And across the sky flashed scenes from my life. And for each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints. One belonged to me, the other to the Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints there in the sand, and I noticed that many times along the path of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of my life. This really bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about this. The Lord answered. He said, I told you I would walk with you. But during those most troublesome times in your life that you saw only one set of footprints and you don't understand why in the times that you needed me most that you thought I left you, I love you and I would never leave you during your times of trial and suffering. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Yeah. God knows what we can carry. Psalm 103 and verse 13. You'll often hear this scripture quoted at a funeral service. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He made us. He knows us. Very well does he know us. A man was shopping in a grocery store. He had his small son with him. The small son followed carrying a large basket. The father loaded it with many items of food, heavy ones, sugar, canned goods, flour. Another customer was watching and feeling sorry for the stumbling lad. And so this other man walked up behind the boy and low in volume, he said, that's quite a load, quite a heavy basket for a lad like you. And then the boy looked up, turned around, and surprised that anyone needed to be told, he said, oh, don't worry. My dad knows how much I can carry. Our Heavenly Father knows the limits of our endurance. He wants to build us. We are to walk by faith and trust him as a child of his. The song that you were given when we started the service, on the back of the song, you'll see a picture. It's of a man's hand, and held in the hand are what look like some seeds. And there's a little bird setting on the finger of the man's hands. Now I wonder how long it took for that man to build a relationship with the bird so that the bird would trust him to sit on his hand. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Romans 8:35 to the end of the chapter declares that no person or circumstance can overcome us. It took a while for that man to develop a relationship with the bird. How long will it take God to develop a relationship with you so that you'll trust him against the unnatural, as was the case for the picture in the man's hand of a bird? We're going to sing this song, "He Giveth More Grace." I'm going to ask Pat to play through it one time, as it may not be familiar to a number of you. Try the first verse. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To trials is multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite grace limits our load. He knows what you can bear, and he's told us in the scriptures that he will not allow you to bear more than what you are able to bear. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, speaking in this respect, the Apostle Paul writes in his second letter to the Corinthian believers, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Paul says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." His grace is sufficient for us. Do we believe that? Is it only a theory, though, of Christian truth? Or do we live by that? If we, like the dreamer, come to God and say, why? Why? No, I don't believe it's wrong to ask why when what you're wanting is God's answer and you'll accept God's answer. But when it's a why of skepticism, a why of doubting God's wisdom in allowing such, then it's only theory. It's only theory. And theory doesn't get you closer to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We go back one book. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm looking at verse 13. Where again the Apostle Paul, writing this letter to these Christians, he says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. So the next time you face something and you wonder and you're certain that nobody else has ever experienced this, you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
That's right.
And you read that you're not the first one. And you'll not be the last one. But all that matters is you right then. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer, permit you to be tempted above that ye are able. God will enable you to bear that temptation. Now understand the word temptation here. Temptation has two aspects. From the devil's side, it's to defeat you. From God's side, it's to test you. The devil tempts a person. It's a solicitation to sin. God never solicits you to sin. But God will allow some things to come into your life. Yes, God may even bring some things into your life to test you. God is faithful, and he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. When I talk with somebody who's going through an extra hard time, I have already said to them, God must know you're a strong person. And they looked at me with a puzzled face. And then I would take them to this verse. And I said, God will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able. And so you've got this which seems too much, but God knows you're able. You must be stronger than you think you are. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape? Are we willing to take God's way of escape? Or is it really only relief, immediate relief that we want? I'll forego the close walk with God if I can have immediate relief. I'm afraid too many Christians have answered, that's what they want, relief. It's not called satisfaction. I cannot say they're satisfied with their walk with God. I cannot say they're content with their walk with God. It's just that they want relief. He will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape. Why? So that you may be able to bear it. To bear it. I don't want to bear it. I want it gone. God says, I'll enable you to bear it. Do you want God's way? If you go God's way, you'll have his grace and strength. If you're not willing to bear it, and you just want to go your way to get immediate relief, well, you better hunker down, because your life is not going to get any better. As a matter of fact, you're going to add to the dilemmas and the difficulties of it. Yeah, the little boy following his dad around the grocery store. He looked up at the man, surprised that he had to explain, "My dad knows what I can bear." That's what the mature Christian in Christ, when he hears the talk, when she hears the explanations of the immature, like the little boy, they just can't understand why somebody has to explain again. God will take care of you. Oh, we sing a song, God will take care of you through every day or all the way. Quit singing lies! You know that half of the church would stop singing on this song or that song, various songs. Half the church would stop singing if they only sang what they practiced. What do you think? If your song leader were to be singing along and came to the next verse on a song and he stopped singing and just, you know, led you like that. Because he doesn't practice that verse. What would you think if the pew in front of you, if they stopped singing? Maybe God would pour out some blessings on us, huh? Not as a congregation, but as an individual. Oh, yes. In the early days of the automobile, a man's Model T Ford had stalled in the middle of the road. And no matter how hard the driver cranked it, nor how much he tried to advance the spark or adjust things under the hood, he just could not get it started. And though traffic was not like today, there did begin to follow him several cars. One of them was a limousine, waiting for this guy to get his car out of the road. Eventually, a man got out of that limousine, dressed in a very nice suit, a very energetic-looking man, and he came up to the car that was broken down and offered his help. Well, after tinkering for a few minutes, the stranger said, "Now try it," to the driver. And immediately the engine started. The well-dressed man identified himself as Henry Ford. And with a simple smile, he said, and I quote, "I designed and built the cars so I know what to do when something goes wrong." God designed and built you. You. As an individual, not just human mankind, you. And he knows what to do when something goes wrong. Now, do we believe that? Or is it just theory? We'll continue to live in misery if it's only theory. But if we really believe it, you see, God understands us from A to Z, and we can have confidence in Him. Now, to the unsaved person here, I appeal for you to trust God like that bird sitting on the finger of the man's hand in the picture. Will you trust Him? If you will, He's promised to take care of you. He'll keep you. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, How long will it take for God to build the kind of relationship that against all of the ordinary, you nevertheless trust him?
Amen. Come on.
I close with this. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but all you can do is sigh with a frown, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a fellow turns about when he might have won it had he just stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with one more blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to the faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to wearing that golden crown. You've heard it said, success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems quite far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Father in heaven, I pray for that individual who is bearing now in their life a burden, a situation that seems more than they can bear. For that individual who is certain that you've forgotten. For yet that individual who asks why. Why, God? I pray, dear Father, as you reveal yourself to them, perhaps in some of the thoughts shared tonight, in scriptures they'll read, in a song that they'll hear, that they will trust you. And they will depend upon you, for you have told them you will never leave them nor forsake them. And may it not just be a theory, not just be truth printed on the pages of the Bible, but may it be a reality in their life. To this end, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he loves them. Amen.
Amen.